Today on We Really Like Musicals and we have opinions about them, so we made this podcast to tell you our opinions about them. Parentheses, the musicals. We're talking about Corpse Bride. It's a beautiful day, it's a rather nice day, and a glorious day for a podcast. Give me a listen, you corpses of cheer. I'll tell you a story made a skeleton cry of our own jubilatiously lovely Corpse Bride. Huzzah, huzzah! We're going to have a wedding, but first, we're going to have a theme song. Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to this week's episode of We Really Like Musicals, and we have opinions about them, so we made this podcast to tell you our opinions about them, parentheses, the musicals. Guys, we are almost through October. There's no denying that.
It's crazy.
So crazy. The craziest? No.
I can't believe it. I can't believe we've done 30 episodes.
Can you believe it?
No.
Are you surprised?
Yeah.
30 episodes.
I'm shook.
And, I mean, who thought we would reach 30 episodes in the middle of our celebration of horror musicals?
Honestly, not me, because I didn't do the math.
Well, I did, and let me tell you, 2 plus 2 equals 4.
What?
And October equals episode 30.
Yes. Well, yeah.
I think I did the math wrong that time, actually.
Well, either way, the facts are the facts. We're at episode 30.
Yeah. I mean, we're not mathematicians. We're podcast hosts. And we're barely that.
Although, I'm not too bad at math. Just for the record.
Okay, I'll test you on that later. But guys, we are talking about this week. No, we're not talking about this week. This week,
let's just talk about this week, what okay. We did this week.
Yeah, did you have fun? I had a great time. Went to Halloween
Horror
Nights.
Did I have a fun?
Did you have eight fun?
Oh.
Tell me eight things. That's what I meant to say. Tell me eight things you had fun doing this week.
Oh, wow.
Don't care. So this week we're talking about Corpse Bride, a.k.a. Would This Ring I Be Dead? Thanks, yeah. At Nate the Plate, for the alternate title. Guys, we do alternate titles for musicals every week. And This week we actually recorded us picking the alternate title, so if you would like to see that, go to our YouTube page and check it out. We got a bunch of stuff on YouTube. We got a bunch of stuff.
And you're going to want to see that stuff.
Yeah, especially the behind-the-scenes stuff. I mean, how did they pick Would This Ring I Be Dead? Well,
yeah,
you don't have to wonder very much longer. Just go to YouTube, search We Really Like Musicals.
And you're going to be shook.
Speaking of shook and shaken and...
Not stirred.
Oh, well, okay. Went two different ways with that segue.
That's right.
We're talking about this week. We're talking... Why I keep saying we're talking about this week. Anyways, this week we're talking about Tim Burton's Corpse Bride. Tim Burton's Corpse Bride. Just wait for the laughter to subside. Tim Burton's Corpse Bride.
If he keeps saying it, that makes it worse.
Why is that funny?
No, just if you keep repeating it, that's just going to make me laugh more.
Right. So this week we're talking about Tim Burton's Corpse Bride. The funniest movie of all time. Making us laugh. Making us giggle. Making people giggle for years.
Only me laugh. You didn't laugh at all.
This movie came out in 2005. There's no denying that. It's in history. It's in history. Part of history. People study it. People learn about it.
They study this movie?
Maybe. I did see somewhere it was that people tried to nominate it for like one of the top 10 best animated movies of all time. I mean, I don't know if I've seen enough animated movies that are like that high caliber to where I could throw in that opinion. You know, I don't know. I don't know if it's worthy of that title, but I don't know if it's
like,
not worthy
about,
of
it. What about The Incredibles? So just throwing that
out. I mean, that movie was in theaters for a long time. And it was good.
I agree, 100%.
So Corpse Bride. I had seen Corpse Bride before. I think I saw it in 2005. I think I saw it in theaters, actually.
Wow.
I know.
Commitment.
Well, commitment to what?
To like a $12 ticket?
Yeah. Well, in 2005, I don't know if it was 12 bucks.
Probably like $11.50.
Let's look it up. Let's look up what ticket prices were. That's what this podcast is about.
Okay. Are you looking it up?
Yeah. Well, you're the mathematician. Let's talk about inflation.
Oh, okay.
Over the last few years. So we're going to have to do some subtraction for sure.
We're going to have to do more than that.
Well, then never mind.
Yeah.
So anyways, bottom line, first time seeing it in theaters was good. Seen it several times since then. What about you?
First time for everything. And it was the first time for this movie.
So
for me.
So last week you said, my eyes have never beheld this before. And now you can say, I got that in my memory.
That's exactly what I said. Yeah, I was pleasantly surprised by this film. You know, I think that I'd probably try to rate it top one movie of all time. What? Animated movie.
Top one animated movie. It's the best animated. It's the best animated movie you've ever seen?
That's what we all said when we tried to nominate it.
What are you talking about?
When you said people tried to nominate it for the best animated movie of all time.
But you were one of those people and you hadn't even seen it yet.
I just really believed.
Well, so, if you believe, you're wearing sleeves. That's what they say.
Oh, I hadn't heard that. But I believe it.
Then you're wearing sleeves. Anyways.
I'm just going to keep going in circles.
So you liked it, though. Initial reaction, you enjoyed it. What did you like about it?
You know, it's been out for a while, but I didn't really know what the story was like at all. So That was just interesting. Like, the story itself is just interesting. I really liked the music.
It's got good music. There's not a lot of songs in it.
Yeah.
I would say...
But the songs that were there were good.
Yeah. And I think we kind of talked about, you know, there's not a lot of songs, but it's not a super long movie either. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of an appropriate amount of songs, honestly.
I mean, I could have used maybe one more song, I think.
Yeah. Well, they actually had a deleted song called Erased, ironically.
It got erased, yeah.
Yeah. And I really wanted to listen to it, but my YouTube link wasn't working, and I just thought, you know what? I'll listen to it later. I know. Yeah. You know?
I hate it when that happens.
YouTube, get stuff together.
Or we might pull our stuff off of YouTube.
I might boycott. Yeah, that's where we throw pigs at people in order to protest. I'm going to boycott this.
I mean, sounds good to me.
Okay, well, so let's talk about the music then, since there isn't much of it. What did you like about it? Did it surprise you?
Well, see, you had prefaced the movie by saying, like, this doesn't really have a lot of songs. So yeah. I was kind of expecting, like, two songs and maybe even just, like, a little hum-hum kind of song. Not, like, a full song.
Hum-hum kind of song?
Yeah, like where like one person at one point is like, and then you're like, see, it has music.
Yeah.
So nah. I just wasn't sure what to expect, but the songs were good. And I thought that they were actually, I mean, because you told me there was no songs,
I didn't say there were no songs. We wouldn't cover it if there were no songs.
Well, no songs. I meant no as in not a lot.
Okay. But you liked it. What about the style? Did you like the style?
Love the style. Any more questions? Just kidding. I love that all the different characters are literally insane body types that don't exist in the real world at all, whether that's, dead or alive.
Yeah, that's that Tim Burton vibe to it.
And the hair that goes higher than any mountain. things of that nature that just really surprise you when you're just like, what if? What if people really looked like that, you know?
I think about that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
No, I transpose people to look like that in my head. When I meet people, I picture them as what they would look like as a Tim Burton drawing.
What do I look like as a Tim Burton drawing?
Well, obviously your hair is much higher, like you said.
Okay.
Goes on.
Just wait, is it just straight up?
Straight up.
Okay.
That was 7 feet.
7 feet.
Yeah, and then of course...
Taller than me.
And then of course, like, everybody's legs are like thin little twigs with like tiny feet.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like...
That's pretty cute.
That's the... That innocent charm of the dark macabre that Tim Burton has, you know?
100%.
You can have something that's so dark and twisted looking, but there's something very innocent and childlike in it as well.
About the little feet.
But, well, not specifically about the feet. Don't make me sound like a weirdo.
No,
I love little feet.
No, I'm just thinking that would be really funny if it was just like this horrifying dark character and they were so gruesome and... awful, and then you look down and they've got little baby feet. They'd be cute.
I know.
Okay, so what do you look like as a Tim Burton drawing?
I got dark circles under my eyes for sure.
I should too.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like my hair's kind of swoopy right now. Mm-hmm. I feel like the swoop would just be a lot bigger.
A wave.
Yeah, that's what I would look like. My head would look like the ocean.
Okay. I think that you should draw us as Tim Burton characters.
Ooh, yeah. We'll post that on Instagram.
For the podcast.
Yeah. That's a good idea.
Yeah. Thank you. All right. What was your... we were talking about the songs. So what do you think about the songs?
I love the songs. I think it matches the feel of this movie very well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of my big pet peeves is when I feel like the style doesn't really match the plot. And I can't think of any examples right now.
Of course.
But I can think of some good examples. Like, for example, Hairspray. I felt Hairspray's plot and the music, they match very well.
Yes.
Moana. Moana has the soundtrack sounds very appropriate for the plot itself. And I feel like this movie as well. It's just the music is done to where it doesn't feel out of place. You never feel like it's like, what is going on right now? You know?
Yeah.
Even when like a lot of the songs have this, sort of, I don't know, Victorian sort of like harpsichord sounds and organs and, kind of has that feel to it. And then it strays away from that in a song called The Remains of the Day, which is more like a weird, like jazz, like bebop sort of music, you know, but they're in like a bar at the time and it just like it, even that. It feels appropriate for where they are.
Is that the one when they are telling the story of the Corpse Bride?
Yes. Which, did you know that Danny Elfman, who wrote the music, he also did, he also played Jack in The Nightmare Before Christmas, which we'll end up doing in December. But he wrote the music for that as well. But they wanted to get somebody... to play that character, the skeleton, his name is Bone Jangles.
Mm-hmm.
They auditioned a bunch of people and nobody sounded like they wanted him to. So Danny Elfman was like, I'll do it. So yeah, he said that was really rough on his voice too, to have to sing like a gravelly
skeleton. Yeah, I'm sure. But I thought that name looked familiar.
Danny Elfman?
Mm-hmm.
He does most of Tim Burton's music.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, I think he did the soundtrack to the earlier Batman movies and Pee-wee's Big Adventure, which was Tim Burton's first movie. Mm-hmm. So they go way back. Most like Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, I think he did the music for that. I could go on.
They're best pals.
They really are. There's like this weird group of like Tim Burton, Danny Elfman, Johnny Depp, and Helena Bonham Carter, and they all just kind of stick together.
Squad goals.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I want to be part of that squad. I wouldn't mind that at all.
You can't. It's already been formed. The pact has been sealed.
What if I practice my vows?
Yes. Then, yep, you can get right in.
Sweet. So we should probably talk about what the plot is in this movie.
Yes.
Elise, would you mind telling us what had happened with the Corpse Bride?
What had happened was, there was this boy, and his parents were like, you get married to this girl, right? And she was like, I gotta get married to this boy I don't never know, never seen before.
I don't ever know.
I don't never know? They about to get married, but then he goes into the woods and he got practice his vows. He liked to play pretend, so he saw branches and he was like, I'm gonna pretend that's a lady's fingers. And lo and behold, it was a lady's fingers. So,
but a dead lady's fingers.
Right. So he put the ring on this dead lady, and your turn.
And she says, I do. And now, uh-oh, we got a guy named Victor married to a girl named Emily, and she dead.
But, like, also, there was no priest, so.
So, yeah, how legally binding is it? We don't know. So, yeah, so now Victor's married to a corpse.
Of corpse he is.
Of corpse, you would make that joke.
Oh, I'm dead.
Where were we? So Emily, she's like, I'm so happy I have a husband. You know, then we go through this story of like, she got murdered in the woods when she was waiting for her last fiance. So now she's like, yes, finally, my true love came along. And Victor's like, I ain't okay with this. I was supposed to marry Victoria. Right. And so he tries to sneak back up to the real world and convince Victoria, like, hey, you got to save me. I didn't mean to marry somebody, and I did. Yeah, and then, like, there's some shady characters that we meet. Lord Barkus, who tries to steal Victoria away from Victor.
Spoiler.
I hardly know her. I feel like that's a good place to stop, right? That's definitely the gist of it. It's a thrilling tale, honestly. I feel like it is.
Oh, on the edge of my seat.
But you did say, like, I feel like this is it's a good kids movie. Because it's not like the most profound thing you've ever seen. But when you watch it, like when we ended watching it, you were like, that was a good kids movie.
Well, and here's the reason why I said that. Because that makes it sound like I don't like it or I don't think it's good for adults. But what I meant was that I wish I would have been exposed to it as a kid. Because I think it's a good dose of horror. You know what I mean? Just like a little bit.
Yeah.
For children. Just a little bit. Where like I think that would have helped me, you know, to
not grow up so weird. Right?
Well, I wasn't gonna say that, but yeah, okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. No, I feel what you're saying.
Like maybe the cool kids would have accepted me.
Yeah, because when I was a kid, I was actually drawn to stuff like this. Like, Goosebumps was really popular when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
We had the Addams Family around that time, and Casper the Friendly Ghost had a live-action movie made. And I loved movies like that. Nightmare Before Christmas was a big one. And so when this movie came out, I was like, oh, yeah, another Tim Burton movie that looks also creepy.
And that's why you said, I'll spend that $11.50 at the movie theater.
For sure. And you know what? I wasn't disappointed. But I will say it wasn't as good as Nightmare Before Christmas.
That's okay. But we also don't have to compare the two.
But I feel like people do, though. Just because they look so similar and they were directed by Tim Burton. So it's just really hard not to compare them. And I don't want to. I think it's a great movie on its own. I think it's okay to say it's not as good as Nightmare Before Christmas. Just, it doesn't mean it's bad, but.
Yeah. I haven't seen Nightmare Before Christmas all the way through, so I won't be commenting on that.
Yeah. But I can't wait. We're doing it in December, so guys, get ready. Tell your friends.
Get ready, guys.
Okay, so let's talk about our favorite songs. Because there's not many songs, honestly. I think there's about 4 songs, and 5 if you include the piano duet, which I did. Just because it's an instrumental, but I don't know. They focus on it. The other instrumentals they don't really focus on. That one feels very intentional, so I count it as a song.
Well, and someone had to write it.
Well, yeah, but they had to write the whole soundtrack, the whole score.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying.
Well, the score of this is fantastic. I will say that. Like, because I went to listen to the soundtrack, and there was a lot of songs in the soundtrack, and I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. How's there so many songs? There wasn't that many songs in the movie. But a lot of it was just the soundtrack or the score of the actual, like, there's like some dance numbers in the film. And so it was just kind of the instrumental, and it's beautiful music. So anyways, so favorite song, I think my favorite song. I want you to guess my favorite song. I want you to see.
You want me to guess?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
We don't do this often.
I'm kind of thinking, I'm leaning towards According to Plan.
Bing, bing, bing.
Yes.
Yep, that's my favorite song. Can you tell why it's my favorite song?
Well, my guess is it's kind of the welcome to the musical song a little bit, and it's kind of like, but instead of, I don't know, I guess it is welcome to the musical, but it's more welcome to what's happening, welcome to the plot, like we just want to jump right in, here we go, type of deal.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. That's why I love it. It's a great, fun way to start off the musical, introduce you to the two families.
Especially with the little guy who's sweeping to the
beat. Yeah, like there's lots of stuff like that. They're you know, they're chopping the heads off of fish in time, and there's lots of stuff like that that happens. And I get it stuck in my head more than the other songs, too. Because a lot of times in my life, I want things to go well. So, like, so I find myself just, like, being like, you know what? I hope today that every single tiny microscopic little thing must go according to plan. Yeah.
That's good. I like
it. No, it's not good, but that's what gets stuck in my head. Yeah, what about you?
I'll tell you. The Remains of the Day, the one where they're talking about the story of the Corpse Bride, is my favorite.
That's a fun... It was hard for me to pick between that one and According to Plan.
But yeah, I like this song because it has that nice jazzy feel to it.
Yeah.
And it tells a story, and it's the story that I'm like, what's the story? And then they told it to me, and I was like, thank goodness, I was wondering. So yeah. I was glad about that. And then it also had... Did you ever see Princess and the Frog?
No, I want to, but...
It had, I mean, basically just because that whole thing is about jazz, so it had that kind of feel to it. It kind of reminded me of that.
You know what it reminded me of?
What?
There were some moments where it reminded me of the song in Aladdin when the genie first comes out of the bottle. Like the...
Oh, you ain't never had a friend like me.
Yeah, kind of had that feel to it.
Oh, I like that song.
Yeah.
It's a good one.
Anyway, sorry, what else did you like about it?
All of the action that's going on, just everything. I just thought it was
turning super skeletons into instruments.
Yeah, I like that. That was good.
You look so happy right now. I've never seen you so happy. I love turning skeletons into instruments.
I'm just like picturing it in my head. I'm replaying that moment.
Yeah.
It's really good.
It was
just
good.
Just give me a minute so I can enjoy it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm, that was good.
Yeah.
I liked it.
Okay, what about least favorite song? What song made you want to just have a quick little puke?
Oh, always working that in. I feel like I need your help to remind me of the two other songs.
Tears to Shed
and The Wedding Song.
So The Wedding Song is, a wedding, we're going to have a wedding. And then there's like... They're making a cake and the guy's nose falls into the cake. And she's like, that's exactly what it needs.
Mm-hmm.
And then the guy's like the little dwarf with the sword is like, huzzah, huzzah, we're going to have a wedding.
Okay.
And like the little spiders sew his clothes together and stuff.
Yeah.
And then Tears to Shed it's where the spider and the little maggot that lives in her eye, they're like talking to each other, singing back and forth about how like... nobody really knows the Corpse Bride like they do.
Right. Then, I'm going to go with that one as my least favorite, the spider and the maggot singing together.
Yeah. I like that song, but I put it as my least favorite too. It just doesn't feel... It feels almost like an afterthought as far as songs go.
It's fine, but it's just kind of like, next.
And next.
Yeah.
Like Bugs Bunny or something.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of.
Well, do you want to... I have some facts for you. Do you want to hear some facts?
I do.
Play that theme song.
Rate my fact.
And that's a fact.
Okay, Elise, I have some facts for you. I have three facts.
Okay, I'm ready.
Now, you can rate them on a scale of 1 to 10, giving me a possibility of getting a total of 30 points.
Ooh.
So my goal is to get 23 points.
Whoa.
It's
Will
a fair
he make
goal.
It?
No, he won't.
Oh.
Fact number one. The puppets used in the stop-motion animation were typically around 17 inches tall.
I do like facts that have measurements in them.
Mm-hmm.
So,
because that's tall to me.
I'm trying to think about... I had never thought about how tall, you know, they might be. So Let me picture a ruler and then add.
Okay. Mathematician over here having to picture a ruler.
Hold on, let me get out my my hypotenuse.
Oh, yeah. That sold it. Everybody believes you're a scientist now.
And then let me just pull out the Pythagorean theorem. And yeah, that's pretty surprising.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, I'll give that to you. So I'm going to give that fact a 5.
All right.
I did the math and that's
What I deserve.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. A squared plus B squared equals a 5 for that fact.
Yeah.
Well, so I have to get a lot of points. I need 2 9s in order to
get 23.
No, I don't think so. Because I don't think you'll appreciate this next fact. I don't know. I could be wrong. But because this next fact takes a little explaining.
James, you got some splaining to do.
Gosh. Didn't even know you liked I Love Lucy.
Okay.
Okay, so one of the forefathers of stop motion animation.
Mm-hmm.
His name is Ray Harryhausen. There's a great documentary of him on Netflix, I believe. I watched it a long time ago. He basically created what we think of as dinosaurs. Like the way they move is because of the way he made dinosaur, the way he animated dinosaurs.
Okay.
Also like classic movies like King Kong, he animated those. So he's kind of like the grandfather of stop motion animation. Well, he visited the set of Corpse Bride when it was being made. And he was like in his 90s, like super old. But everybody was like, oh my gosh, Ray Harryhausen is here. They engraved his last name on the piano that Victor is playing when he first meets Victoria. I messed up that sentence, but you know what I'm saying.
I hear you.
So if you watch the movie, the piano has a name on it, and it's Harryhausen as an homage to the grandfather of stop motion animation.
Is it like on the front, like as if it's like the brand name of the piano?
I believe so. I didn't go back and double check. I remember reading it and thinking that name sounded familiar and I couldn't place it. But
I would have just thought it's the legit piano brand because that's what they all sound like.
I know. So I think it's a very good way to sneak that guy's name in. Yeah.
Very sneaky. So they did that because he visited one day? Or did he act...
I think they were going to do it anyways, probably, but just a fun little fact that he also visited. So fun.
I like that. I think that's interesting. And I like to know behind-the-scenes information. It makes me feel like I'm one
BTS.
Of the games. BTSI. And so I'm going to give that a 9.
Oh, thanks. You didn't have to, but you did.
I did have to.
Well, you had to. Yeah.
I really thought that was very interesting.
It's sweet, isn't it?
Yes, very sweet.
Okay.
One day I hope somebody puts my name on a piano.
Elise, maybe somebody already has.
Hello? Anybody?
Tweet at us if you put Elise's name on a piano.
Guys, don't make me really happy.
Okay, I'm not going to get 23 points, I don't think. I have 13 now, so I need... No, I have 14 now. I need at least a 9 or higher. And I don't think I'm going to get it, but I could be wrong. So listen to this fact.
Maybe you should stop being so negative.
I know. That's what my therapist keeps saying.
You sound like Eeyore.
Thanks for noticing me. Okay, so here's your third fact. Corpse Bride was the first stop-motion movie to be shot digitally. That's it.
The first stop motion?
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting.
Right.
But I don't know if it's interesting enough to get a 9.
I know. Just rip the Band-Aid off. Come on.
I mean, why did it take so long? 2005? It's just kind of weird that it took that long.
They used to use, I want to say it was like 35mm film.
Yeah, just like, yikes, right? Well, it does make me think.
Does it make you think about giving me a 9 or higher?
You know, I'm going to give that fact an 8.
Okay, so I got 22 points.
So close.
Thanks for not holding back, you know.
Well, you know, I want to make sure I'm being fair.
No, I mean, that's, you know the rules, you know what I have to get, but that shouldn't dictate how you score me. So I appreciate you not giving me a 9.
Yeah, I feel like you resent me a little bit, though.
Whatever.
All right.
Whatever, well, Elise.
I'm sorry, but that's just, I got to do what I got to do.
Well, maybe I can redeem myself by tricking you in a game of Fact or Faked. You want to play Fact or Faked?
Yeah.
Okay, play the theme song.
Fact or Faked.
That's a fact, baby. So I have 3 facts. One of them is fake. You have to guess which one is the little ghost.
Ooh, the little ghost. What are the other ones? Just normal people?
Just living. We got two facts are Victor and Victoria, and one fact is Emily.
Which is hilarious, by the way. Victor and Victoria.
Yeah. Anyway, so you got to find the Emily in the bunch.
Yep.
Which one of these facts is just pretending to be alive?
Yes.
Wait, she didn't pretend to be alive. You know what I mean.
I know what you mean. It's okay.
It's not a perfect metaphor, but let's just go with it. Here we go. Fact number one. Johnny Depp filmed Charlie and the Chocolate Factory at the same time he was recording lines for Corpse Bride. So he was Willy Wonka by day and Victor Van Dort by night.
Okay.
Second fact. Originally, Kate Winslet was supposed to play Emily, the Corpse Bride, but she turned down the role in order to play Clementine in the movie Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. Third fact. The story of a Corpse Bride, or the Corpse Bride, is based on an old Jewish folk tale called The Finger.
Mmm.
So those are your 3 facts.
The Finger.
We got The Finger, we got Kate Winslet, and we got Johnny Depp being Willy Wonka and Victor Van Dort at the same time.
Okay, so the last one, I hope that that's true because that sounds great.
The Finger?
Yeah, that would have been a good alternate title.
Yeah, it's not so bad.
I probably wouldn't have chosen it, but...
No.
So I like that. I think that's good. If it's fake, then it's at least very funny. So props to you, if so.
Thanks.
If they're due. If not, I revoke it. And then the Kate Winslet thing, it could be true, because who cares?
It could be true, because who cares?
Right.
Okay.
Like, I don't
not
really
a Kate
care.
Winslet fan?
Not really. Are you?
I don't know if I've seen her in enough stuff. Like Titanic and, I mean, I'm sure there's other things.
There's probably other things. And then, so that just leaves us with the first one, which I just feel like, I don't know, I just something tells me, maybe a spirit or something tells me that it's just fake. So I'm going to go with that.
The first one is fake?
Mm-hmm.
Bonk.
Wait, I can't remember what that means.
Bonk means bad, wrong, bad, oh, wrong, badong. Man.
Badong, badonkadonk.
Oh, okay.
So is it Kate?
Yes, the false fact was Kate Winslet was never supposed to play Emily, at least to my knowledge. But that does mean that Johnny Depp was Willy Wonka and Victor Van Dort at the same time, which I found fascinating.
That is very interesting.
Tim Burton said he felt like Johnny Depp was very schizophrenic at that time, having to go back and forth between characters.
Oh. Even though it's just voice acting? Also, I didn't think that would have happened at the same time.
So, and also this means that the actual original folk tale was a Jewish thing called The Finger.
I like that.
The story I found was a little different. They obviously changed some things. I think it was originally set in Russia. And also the Corpse Bride, at the end of the Tim Burton version, she disintegrates and flies away into a bunch of butterflies, which was kind of weird, but I'm okay with it.
Right.
But in this one, she just collapses into a pile of bones.
Oh.
A little more depressing.
Yeah, it's a little sad, huh? Well, rest in peace.
Pieces, yeah.
Rest in butterflies.
R.I.B.
I hope that's the way I go.
I do want to talk about the piano duet because I feel like this movie, as we kind of mentioned, it's got a lot of elements for children, but I feel like children wouldn't necessarily connect with a piano duet. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's a very sophisticated part of the movie, especially since the piano duet ties in what Victor was playing originally when he first met Victoria.
As far as the argument of, like, kids may not connect with that, I still think kids get a really strong sense of, oh, these two people have something in common, something that they're, you know, they're sharing together. Right. Oh, they're both, like, they both, I don't know this song or whatever. But then just from a me perspective, that it's kind of that moment where you're like, aw, because that's not something he can all the way connect with Victoria about. Mm-hmm. But it's not Victoria's fault either, because she has grown up in an environment where she's been told she's not allowed to pursue music, but she really likes it, yeah. I believe. So it's just one of those weird moments where you're just kind of like, oh, I think, like, whatever happens, I'm going to be okay with the result.
Yeah, it is kind of weird. You don't want him to end up with the corpse bride, but she's a sweet lady. You know, it's not her fault she's dead. And so this is the point in the movie where it's kind of like, you see Victor be like, all right, well, if this is what I got to do, at least it's with her.
Yeah, and I think it kind of helps you see, not Victoria, see Emily for, you know, she's not this scary dead person. I mean, you know, she kind of is. But there's more to her, and there's depth and...
Johnny Depp.
And so, yeah, it's kind of a nice perspective, I think. I have a question.
Bring it on.
Different musical. Victor, he's listening in, and he overhears them telling Emily, hey, we got to kill him. We got to kill this guy. So mm-hmm. that the marriage is legal and the vows are legal or whatever. You know, he overhears that. So you expect him to kind of concoct a plan and, you know, get the heck out of there.
Yeah.
And then he runs in and he says, because she's like, I can never ask him. And he's like, you don't have to ask. I'll do it. And yeah. So I'm just wondering, was there some sort of plan there, or he just has already decided that, like, it's okay, or what? Because then you see them having their ceremony, and I mean, he's not like looking around trying to figure a way out of it. Like, he's about to do it.
What's your question?
Do you know? My question is, I mean, what happened to where he just kind of made that shift?
Well, at that point, he hears that Lord Barkas is marrying Victoria. So he kind of feels like he thought he had this perfect thing up on the land of the living. And then it seems like everybody just kind of moved on without him. Because he kind of felt like a loner the whole time, I think. Mm. And he thought, okay, well, Victoria seems like she's going to accept me. And then he finds out she's moving on too. And probably he felt probably really isolated. And he thought, like, well, if they don't want me, like, marrying a dead person isn't the best thing ever. But, like, at least she wants me, you know. At least that's what I would think if I was marrying a corpse.
Oh, of course. You need to put yourself in the cold feet.
The cold feet, yeah. A reference to something that will not air on the podcast, but if you want to watch our alternate title video.
It still makes sense, though.
Still makes sense.
Kinda.
Okay, let's play What Song Is That From? Wait a second. Where
are you that from? Damn!
All right, everybody. Thanks for listening to the theme song.
Are you just going to leave that in instead of putting the actual theme song in?
Just to let people know that most of the time we just move right along and add it in later. But today we actually sang it. We sang it to ourselves.
And you gave it your all, for sure.
I have three lyrics. Mm-hmm. And you got to guess what song they're from. Easy, simple.
I'm ready.
Here is your first lyric. Elise mm-hmm. White. Mm. And she doesn't play piano or dance or sing.
I'm going to guess Tears to Shed.
Bing, 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 bing.
Yes.
You got it right. Can you tell me who's singing this? Who's singing this?
Probably the spider.
Yeah, it's actually two people. I think...
And the maggot?
Yeah. Well, you got one right. Yeah, congratulations. Here is your next lyric. Always waiting for someone to ask for her hand.
That's gotta be the Remains song.
Remains of the Day.
Yes.
Right? Yes. Yeah, that's right. Yes. It's near the end of the song where he's saying basically, you know, she got murdered. Emily got murdered. And now she just sits under the old oak tree waiting for someone to ask for her hand.
Sad.
Sad.
It's a little Trump impression for you guys.
Who would Trump play in this musical?
I like that question. I believe Trump would probably play Lord Doofus.
Lord Barkus?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that's the obvious choice, but I think I would rather cast him as someone else, like maybe the maggot. I could just imagine the maggot popping out of her eyeball and talking like, hey, you deserve somebody better than this.
But also I think that Lord Barkus just kind of like looks like him. He's got the swoopy hair, kind of, you know? Yeah. He's got the body shape.
I don't know about that. I think Barkus is a little bit more fit.
Really? You know?
Yeah, Lord Barkus kind of had that, like, the really wide upper chest, you know?
You don't think D. Trump has a nice wide chest?
A nice wide chest, no. I never look at our president and think, what a nice wide chest.
I am asking. I wasn't saying either way.
No, I mean, earlier when you were talking about how hot Trump's chest was, kind of weird, but I didn't think we'd bring that up on the podcast.
That I said that, so.
Well, you got two right. Would you like to push your luck with a third?
What if I said no?
I don't know.
I'll just say yes so that we don't have to figure it out.
Yeah, that's great. Here's your third lyric.
Mm-hmm.
Having crumpets with her highness.
I've only got two.
Yeah, you really
left.
Got two options. So according to plan or the wedding song.
I mean, it really could be either. Because according to plan, you know, we could be talking about, like, you know, once they get married, they're going to be, like, doing this crumpet stuff. Mm-hmm. Or with the wedding song, we could say, like, oh, they're going to get married and then they're going to be eating crumpets.
Either way, crumpets could be eat in.
So let's go with the wedding song.
The wedding song.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to go with.
Are you sure?
Should I change my answer?
I'm not saying you should. If you want to get it right, maybe.
But maybe you're trying to trick me.
No. If you got it right, I would just be like, yeah, you got it right.
All right, I'll go with according to plan.
Ding, 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 ding.
Yes. Knew it. All along.
Yeah, no, you were right. You were thinking on the right track there when I think this is Victor's parents singing about how once they get married, they're going to be having tea and crumpets with Her Highness, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Which, by the way, can we talk about Victor's dad's voice for a second? Because it's fantastic.
It is?
Yeah, everybody else kind of has that deep British accent. Victoria's dad is like, oh dear, that type of, you know. But Victor's dad is like, having crumpets with Her Highness.
Mm, so you like that it's a little bit
it's nasally.
Higher pitched.
Yeah. It reminds me of, I don't know if you've ever seen the IT Crowd, but Moss, the guy that plays Moss talks like that. But I love that voice where some, I don't know. I wish I could
talk
like that.
You wish he had a
solo? Oh, for sure.
Also, when he says, hey, you know, let's go meet my parents. So they go to the upper world or whatever.
The upper world, yeah.
The alive place. And he doesn't, I mean, he goes to tell Victoria, but I mean, honestly, how's she going to be able to help him? He needs to go to somebody that can help him.
Well, who would he go to? Like a priest?
What about like a witch?
I don't know. You know, if you grow up in like a city like that in rural England somewhere, I feel like your first instinct is not to go ask the advice of a messenger of the Dark Lord, you know?
I just think that it's one of those things that, like, if your house gets haunted, who do you call?
Ghostbusters.
Right, and then...
Oh, that would have been a cool twist, right? The Ghostbusters came in halfway through.
Yeah, but that's the whole point, you know? You know who to call in that situation, even if you've never been in that situation. I mean, if your house is haunted, you're not going to be like, Mom, my house is haunted. Because she's going to be like, I don't know what to tell you. Light some incense or something. But, you know, you go to somebody who knows, like a psychic or a witch.
Yeah, but you don't think you would go to like a family member first just to complain? Or like at least get them on your side?
Well, that's the thing,
because wouldn't you
too.
Want to feel that's not crazy too. First?
That's the thing, too.
That's the thing, too.
That's the thing, too. He went to Victoria, who he's known for 5 hours. On top of that, she can't help him. He should have gone to his parents.
But his parents, they're trying to marry him off. I feel like the only person he trusts at this point in the movie is Victoria.
Well, my original point was that he should have gone to the local witch, but you wouldn't allow that. So I'm saying at least he would go to his parents first because he's known them for, how old is he? 20-something years? So he'd go to them first, and then when they're unhelpful, maybe he'd go to Victoria, but he knows that she can't help him.
You know, I heard she has a secret anyways.
It's probably not a very good one.
No. Well, speaking of a joke like that, let's talk about all the jokes in this movie and how I said my alternate title would be Dad Joke the Musical.
Oh, yeah. I forgot you said that.
Because I feel like every joke in this movie is some sort of play on words or a pun or something like that.
What was your favorite one?
I don't know. All the ones that come to mind right now are pretty lame. Like when the waiter pops down, he's just ahead and he's like, I'm the head waiter.
Mm-hmm.
Or when the Black Widow comes down and she's like, I'm a widow.
That's not even good at all.
But I don't know. There's just so many jokes like that.
Oh, I'll tell you what my favorite joke was.
Yeah.
Gutnick?
Elder Gutnick.
Anyways, that guy. They go to that guy and they're like, hey, we need a potion so we can go to the Alive Land. And he's like, all right, cool. And he pulls out this book and then he spends like 5 minutes like putting like a raven's feather in and like mixing it with like vampire teeth. I don't know what he did. And then he drinks it. And then he's like, now what are we talking about? And they're like, the potion that we need to make. And then he's like, ah, yes. And then he makes a potion. And I thought that was so funny.
I mean, the comedic timing on that joke is just fantastic.
Even better when I say it.
But you know what? I think when I originally saw it, there was just a slight disappointment in me. But I think it's because it was one of those movies where I was so excited to see it that I watched the trailer like a billion times.
Mm.
And that was one of the jokes that was in the trailer. And there were a few other ones that it's like now they're really funny because I forget about them. But when I saw it in theaters, I was like, yeah, already saw this.
Yeah, I kind of think we should just ban trailers.
Okay, let's do it. Boycott them.
Boycott them. What people should do, though, is just get one guy to kind of give you a rough idea of the plot. So you know if you're going to be interested. Kind of just like a podcast voice. Just like, hey, there's going to be this story that's coming.
Wait,
it's
on
got
TV?
A guy in it. Yeah.
You think just like when a trailer comes on, it's just a black screen and a voice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Just a dude being like, hey, there's a new Brad Pitt movie. Go see it.
It's got action. It's got romance. You're going to love it. Just come see it. $12.95 at your local cinema. Yeah. And then people are like, well, it's got the three things I love. That way no one's disappointed. You're not seeing any of the stuff before you should.
I'm all for this. I don't know why you're arguing with me. I can't talk.
No, I'm not arguing. I really all of a sudden believe that this is...
Oh, gosh.
Excuse me?
Guys, if you could have seen her face just then.
Why did you do that?
I don't know, because I wanted to see what you would do.
Oh my gosh. Was it worth it?
Let me work it.
Let's reverse it. There
you go. Well, we should rate this. What do you think?
Now that I'm in a bad mood.
Yeah.
Sure.
You start.
Let's rate it to heck.
Rate it to heck is what she says.
No, I'm not starting, because I'm in a bad mood.
Okay. Well, fine.
Yeah.
You know what?
Good luck Listen starting up. It first.
I want to.
Yeah, that's what they all say.
All right. Well, let's see. You know what? I'm going to give this movie, I'm going to give it an 8. I think it's an 8.
Why?
Well, let me tell you why, okay?
Gosh. Okay.
Are you Canadian?
Canadian accent just came out.
All right. Okay. I gave it an 8.
You sound like a Canadian Trump.
A Canadian Trump.
Yeah, that's what that sounded like. That was weird.
Yeah, so I'm going to give it an 8. And let me tell you why. It's got great music. It's got a great plot. Visually, I think it's just very interesting. I love Tim Burton's style. I always have been impressed by stop motion animation.
Mm-hmm.
I just find that fascinating. And I wish they did it more. I understand why they don't. It's probably super expensive.
Because they were doing it on film for all those years.
Yeah, but I just feel like that's such a cool medium. It was just a well-made movie. What are you doing?
Well, I was gonna make fun of how you said you know, but
my Canadian accent.
Yeah, came out again. Came out.
Sorry about that. Hope your day gets better.
Okay, so I'm gonna rate it. I'm gonna give it a 7.7.
Ooh, how very holy of you.
Thank you. A 7.777. Yeah, let me finish. I liked a lot of things. I liked how interesting the characters were. I liked the story, the plot. I liked the music. I know we kind of said it's proportionate for how long the movie is, but I do kind of wish we had some more songs.
Yeah.
But I that's feel part like of the I reason always it's wish not, that.
That's part of the reason it's not higher for me, because I want more songs. I think it was such a good musical. Mm. It has such good music. Give us more.
Yeah.
Don't hold back.
And I want to know why it hasn't been more of a classic Halloween movie that people pull out.
Yeah. It was critically acclaimed. It was nominated for an Oscar that year for Best Animated Movie. People loved it when it came out. It was a commercial success. But it's just kind of like nobody really talks about it anymore. Or at least I feel that way.
Yeah.
So it's just strange. Normally you hear the opposite happening of like, a movie wasn't that well received, but it became a cult classic and people really gravitate towards it.
Mm-hmm.
This is like the total reverse of that. Weird.
I did see a lot of people dress up as Corpse Bride back in the day, but it's like one of those things. It's like most people have seen it, but no one really cares or talks about it that much.
Yeah, it's so weird. I feel like it deserves to be talked about.
Sad. Well, we're talking about it.
Hopefully this stirs the pot, you know? Corpse Bride will be trending all next week. People will be talking about it. Oh my gosh, did you hear the new episode of We Were Like Musicals and We Have Opinions About Them? And they'll be like, man, it inspired me to create more stories like Corpse Bride.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm going to make a movie called The Foot or The Toe or The Nose.
Mm-hmm.
Just get, you know, all the old Jewish folk tales based on body parts. Exactly.
Start writing.
So a 7.77.
Mm-hmm. 7.
Well, I think that's awesome. I think we're pretty much right on the same page. I didn't expect you to like it, honestly.
Why? You always say that.
I know. Just because, I don't know, sometimes...
Sometimes I think you don't think I like anything. But I feel like I do like most things, you know?
Yeah.
In fact, I think I should probably be a little harder on some things.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like if it had a good effect... Embrace it.
Yeah. I think maybe what it is that I like some things that are very, like a very specific style.
Right.
Like I know you like general things, but I'm afraid if it gets to the extremes examples of things, you might be like, ooh, I don't know about this though.
Because
I feel like Corpse Bride is a very specific feel that I just don't know if it's everybody's cup of tea.
I think you gotta be able to create. You should be able to create, but you also should be able to appreciate creations that are a little outside the box.
Yeah.
Kind of understand like, oh, we're kind of entering into a totally different world or a totally different style. And that's cool that this person has created something completely unique. I like that.
I suck on that. Okay. Well, I think that's going to do it for our Corpse Bride episode. What do you think?
Yeah.
So guys, next week we're doing a musical that...
Oh, wait, we're doing a musical next week?
Yeah, I know.
We've
Speaking of thinking outside the box, we are doing a musical, and this one kind of is outside the box. It's a musical adaptation of the classic horror film, The Evil Dead. I have not seen this musical. Elise has not seen this musical.
Nope.
But I like Evil Dead, I think. Do you like Evil Dead?
Yeah, I think it's been a long time, so I think I might try to watch it again.
What a great time. What a great month to watch The Evil Dead. I highly encourage that. But yeah, there's a musical version of it, apparently. And I mean, you got to see that, right?
You have to.
Yeah.
Or else you might get murdered.
Got it. Yeah. All right, guys. So keep an eye out for that so you can give us an alternate title on what you would call Evil Dead the Musical. You might not be familiar with the musical, but...
Go check it out.
Certainly, if you're familiar with the source material, even, you can chip in with that alternate title. Tell us what you would call it, please. Pretty please.
And please go watch it.
Please go watch it. Join us in our adventure to discover the Evil Dead musical. Well, guys, that's going to do it for We Really Like Musicals and We Have Opinions About Them, so we made this podcast to tell you our opinions about them, parentheses the musicals. I'm James, and...
Oh, we never introduced ourselves at the beginning. And I'm Elise.
Now you know who we are. Thanks for listening all the way through. Hope your day gets better. Bye.
I'm the head waiter.
I am so French. I have a baguette.
Musicals. Jazz hands.